His heart was broken, mine was mended. He became sin, now I am clean. The cross he carried bore my burdens. The nails that held him set me free. His life for mine, his life for mine. How could it ever be that he would die? God's son would die to save a wretch like me. What love divine, he gave his life for mine. His scars of suffering brought me here healing. He shed his blood to fill my soul. His crown of thorns made me royalty. His sorrow gave me joy untold. His life for mine, his life for mine. How could it ever be that he would die? God's son would die to save a wretch like me. What love divine, he gave his life for mine. He was despised and rejected, stripped of his garments and oppressed. I am loved and accepted, and I wear a robe of righteousness. His life for mine, his life for mine. How could it ever be that he would die? God's son would die to save a wretch like me.
For that, Nick. Of course, we're in the book of Proverbs again. We just got back with it last week, and we started looking at the lazy man. Of course, Proverbs talks about wisdom. So when you're talking about something like being lazy, how it applies to wisdom, because wisdom is seen in how we live our lives. A wise person isn't just somebody that has a high IQ. A wise person is somebody is also a person of high character. And so it'll be seen in the way they live their lives. We mentioned the key words in the book of Proverbs regarding that: slothful, sluggard, and slack. We mentioned last week that slothful is a picture of the sloth, which is a very, very slow and lazy animal. You say, well, why do we talk about that? Do you think that our church is full of lazy people? No, I don't think our church is full of lazy people, okay? But it's like anything. We talk about the fool. Do we think that the church is full of foolish people? No, I don't think the church is full of foolish people. But sometimes we're not a specific type of person, but if we're not careful, we can exhibit some of those qualities. And also, when we're just around others and raising children, if we're not careful, we can almost accidentally instill some of these character qualities. And there's one you definitely don't want to instill in your child. You don't want them to be a lazy individual, okay? And so we started looking last week at some conditions of a lazy man. We mentioned letter A, he was not characterized by completing a job. Great starter, horrible finisher. Letter B, he is a detriment. Okay, sloth, you see the verse there. We won't go over it. We went over it last week. Letter C, adversity or opposition easily stops him. Letter D, they are always looking for excuses. We stop there. Let's look at some new traits this evening, and it's still under the conditions of a lazy man. Okay? Letter E, and this can drive a person crazy. This one drives me crazy. He does not take care of that which belongs to him. He does not take care of that which belongs to him. Proverbs chapter 24 and verse 30 and 31 says, I went by the field of the slothful and the vineyard of the man void of understanding. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns, and nettles had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. Solomon may have been giving had maybe thought back to a time, and God used this for this principle, where he walked by a piece of land, and he saw that the land was not taken care of. You think thorns overgrowing it, like brush overtaking the property, weeds, if we will. The wall that would outline the building to help take care of it, it's broken down, it's in disrepair. What's he trying to say here? Well, he's trying to say that the condition of the property told him something about the owner. Just by going by and looking at it and seeing how he took care of it told him what the owner was like. And he mentions him as being slothful. How he took care of that which he had spoke a lot about his character. Solomon didn't even necessarily need to meet the guy to understand that he was not taking care of that which he owned. You know, we talk a lot about stewardship. We think about stewardship, of course, the only thing that crosses our mind is money and giving. That's not what stewardship is. That's an aspect of it. Stewardship is really about everything that we have that is given to us from God. When we talk about being managers, we're not just talking about money. Now, we do that once a year because money seems to be the most difficult one, and money needs to be managed properly. But really, everything that we have has been given to us from God. Amen. And we're stewards of it. Therefore, we should take the best care of it. That doesn't just apply to how we use things. It applies to how we take care of things. You ever notice children are very destructive? How many of you noticed that? Now let me just say this. I don't like children being destructive. But I'll be honest with you, I'd rather have a little boy be destructive than act like a little girl. And by the way, mothers, don't rip the manhood out of your sons. You know, I don't want my son to play. He might hurt himself. He needs to hurt himself. Not in a bad way. I'm not, you know, I need to break his leg. But it's like, let him be boy. But I don't like destruction. You know, we have toys outside, and sometimes the kids will be out in the back playing, and they think the toys are to ram into each other. Now, when I was a little boy, I kind of was into that. It's like, yeah. But it's like, that's not what that's designed for. They're going to run it into the side of the house. It's like, hey, stop that. We don't do that, okay? Take care of things. We ought to instill that in people. Take care of what you have. You know, you get your kids Christmas presents, and if you're not careful, within a day, they're all gone, broken. Listen, you got to teach them, you take care of that which you have. You may not have the nicest things, but you can always have things that you take care of, okay? And don't be so destructive. We you know, you take money doesn't grow on trees. That costs something. We're not going to go buy another one. Well, you're trying to tell them, take care of what you have. Don't be so destructive. But that's what happens. The lazy man doesn't take care of anything. When I used to work for my dad, I mentioned I worked at his auto shop, and you know, some of these things were really rusted, and you have to really work at them to get them loose. And I just grab any tool. Like if I had to chip away at it, I'd just grab a hammer and I'd grab a screwdriver and I'm like chipping at it. And one thing my dad would always do, he'd come, hey, that's not what that tool is for. I'm like, it seems to be working okay in my world, okay? I think it's fine. He's like, no, that's not what that, get the tool, use the proper tool. You're gonna ruin that tool. He ruined my whole day. But he's trying to teach a principle. Listen, that's not gonna last if you're not using it correctly. But a slothful person doesn't take care of that which they have. You know, it's not, you don't always have to replace things. Sometimes you do. I get that. But sometimes if we would just take care of what we have, it might last a little bit longer. By the way, you say, what's the big deal about that? That is stewardship. Okay? It's stewardship. Why would you want God to provide something new for you when you haven't been taking care of that which he's already given to you? Now, sometimes there comes a day, you know, it's like, what do you need to do to fix this thing? Well, you need to throw a white sheet over it. It's done. Okay? It's time to get a new one. But let's take care of the things we have, okay? Let's not be so haphazard about it. Letter F. Here we go. This isn't true of everybody, but letter F, they sleep too much. Okay, we'll have a balance here. Calm down. Proverbs 6:9. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? Now, the preceding verses to this we're going to look at later. And by the way, church is not an opportunity to sleep, all right? I don't know if you knew that. It's like, say, well, that's your fault. You're putting us to sleep. Okay, I'll yell. But the verses before that are talking about the lessons we can learn from the ant about not being lazy. And we're going to look at those a little bit later. But one of the things he's talking that the ants will help us was is an encouragement to overcome laziness. Ants are tireless worker. I guess the lazy man, because this is the verses after, he saw the activity of the ants and it made him tired, so he went to bed. But some people just sleep way too much. Now, I'm not saying you need to get, you know, 4 hours of sleep. That's bad too, okay? There's a balance there. But some people, they just have a tendency just to waste their life in bed. Now, there's a counterbalance to everything. In our society, it seems that really a lot of people that are trying to be achievers and things, sometimes they don't sleep enough. And by the way, that's not good for you. Okay? You need to find out how much sleep you need and get that amount of sleep. And by the way, if you're sick, you ought to sleep a little bit more. Some people must be sick all the time if you see how much they sleep. I was in staff meeting. I mentioned something about sleep, like sleep patterns help us at work, and it's like find out how much you need. Now, it seems that the older you get, I don't know if there's a reason. Brother Mejia told me there was. You know, it seems like sometimes you get a little older, you don't need to sleep as much. Has anybody found that out? Okay. But Brother Mejia said that's because when you're younger, you need to sleep more because your brain is still developing. So if you sleep a lot, that just means you're stupid. That's all. Just kidding. So we get older, our brain is fully developed, all right? So I quit sleeping when I was 3. My brain was right where it should be. It's detriment. I remember in college, I had a college professor. It's actually the assistant vice principal of the college. And he said one time, he was in chapel, and a preacher came in, and, you know, and he was talking. He goes, let me tell you the secret to success. Stay up late. Stay up late. Work hard. Stay up real late. So he listened to the guy and said, you know what? I want to be successful, so I'm gonna go to bed later. I'm gonna work a little later. I'm gonna go to bed later. And he said he was doing that. He said a while later on in this semester, another guy came and was preaching and said, let me tell you the secret to success. Get up early. So he thought, well, I gotta start getting up early too. So he listened to the one guy and he started going to bed late. He listened to the other guy, he started getting up early. He was talking to someone about it. He goes, brother, don't you understand? I know both of those pastors. The one that goes to bed late gets up later. The one that gets up early in the morning, he goes to bed really early. So he was just doing the two extremes, and he was running out of energy. But we need to make sure that we are not lazy. For some people, laziness and sleeping too much is an issue. You know, there's several reasons people may sleep too much. A lot of times, some people just have no purpose in life. They just don't. Look, when I was in Bible college, and I'm not saying this to brag because I don't think it was good. I maybe average 5 hours sleep a night. Some weeks it was 4.5 because of my schedule. I had to work full time. I don't think that was good. And I, by the way, it started to catch up with me. I had to kind of adjust my schedule. I'm not saying, okay? I drank a lot of coffee, okay? And I was young and dumb and all that type of thing. Some of the guys would take, I don't know if they sell them anymore. I thought they were drugs, but they used to have the little white pill, not the kind you get from Jose in the alley, okay? They used to have the little white pills that you would take to keep you awake. I forget what they were called. No dose. I was dead tired. Working third shift, man, you hear this hum, like, and I'd be tired, and I'm like, I am not taking those things. Those are drugs. But I will say, one time we were doing vacation Bible school or something, it was bad. I'm like, I took one, and I felt pretty good, but I wouldn't take those again. But I'm just saying, know how much sleep you need and get that much sleep. That's healthy. But let me just say this. It can be unhealthy to sleep too much. You get sluggish. But when a person doesn't have purpose in life, they have no reason to get up. They have no reason. They have no, you know, let's have some purpose in life. Say, well, I'm retired. I just don't have a lot to do. I would find something to keep myself going. Yeah. By the way, they've said that when people retire, you start, usually it's not that much longer, you die. Unless you get yourself into something else. But no purpose in life. And I'll just say this, some people sleep too much because they don't have character. They just allow themselves. I mean, they have these things that get you up. They're called alarm clocks. Now, I know when I was in Bible college and I was getting by on 5 hours sleep a night, you did not wake up. You got resurrected. So what I would do is I took my alarm clock, and we had bunk beds, and I put it at the far side, and I wired it to something so that when it went off, I had to get up and go over there to get to it. That woke me up. If it was nearby me, if you can reach it, you know what happens. You're done, okay? But they sleep too much. Make sure you have a proper. It's funny. You've heard the story of Rip Van Winkle. Rip Van Winkle, the story is about a lazy man. He would do anything to avoid work. So one day, he walked off into the wilderness, into the forest, to take a nap, and he slept for 20 years in this story. He missed, during those 20 years, when he woke up, he missed the Revolutionary War. So he gets up, and he still thinks England's in charge, and I've never read the story, but I've heard of it. And he starts to get himself in trouble because he doesn't know what's happened in the last 20 years. The funny thing about that story of laziness is the man who wrote it actually wrote that by staying up all night one night to write that story. Okay, the complete opposite of what the story is about. So what am I saying? Stay awake in church, okay? But just make sure your sleep pattern, watch your kids sometimes, they're good at it. I don't understand some people. I remember during the summer when I used to be the youth director, I'd call the teenagers and, you know, hey, why don't you come over and volunteer to, you know, I also did the maintenance and the janitorial and all that stuff. So I'm like, hey, why don't you come and help us this summer? And I'd call them about 11 and 12 o'clock and it's, oh, I'm like, really? Really? If I got up at 12, I'd feel like I ruined the whole day. I'm not saying you need to get up at 5 in the morning. You know, you have a holiday, sleep in. But, man, I can only stay. You know, a holiday, let's sleep in a little. I can only do so much. Because it's like, you know, I don't understand how to do that. Okay, letter G. Okay, the lazy man. They are a source of grief and irritation to others. They are a source of grief and irritation to others. Look what Proverbs says. As vinegar to the teeth and as smoke to the eyes, so is the sluggard to them that sent him. In other words, here's a person that's sending a lazy person to do something for them. And the results are like vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes. Both of these are irritants. Vinegar sets your teeth on edge. It's almost like your teeth are, in a sense, almost like when you put your fingers on a chalkboard. Your teeth feel like that. You know what I'm talking about? And then smoke in your eyes, if you've ever got smoke in your eyes, you know your eyes hurt, okay? Kind of like when you ever cut onions. I always thought that was a myth, and I don't know what we were doing. One of the holidays, I was helping my wife or one of the girls, I'll cut the onions. And man, it hurt, okay? After all, I'm like, what's, that's true, that stings. That's an irritant. That's what happens when you put your trust in somebody who is lazy. If you send a lazy man to do a job, you're asking for trouble. By the way, you should not have sent them. And let me say this. If someone's sending you to do a job or has you do a job and you do it in a lazy way, you are an irritation to them. And I'll just tell you what, as a worker and an employee, I would not want to be an irritation to somebody that's asking me to do something. I wouldn't want to do that. Okay? So that's very important. Be faithful. Think of the story of David after Absalom's rebellion. David was irritated with Joab, and a couple times he tried to replace him. He tried to replace him after Absalom's rebellion because Joab killed his son, and Joab was always kind of just doing his own thing. And so he was going to replace him with Amasa, who was the leader of the soldiers for the other side. And so understanding that after this rebellion and now the rebellion with Absalom has been taken care of, David realized if he didn't get things into place quickly, take control of the situation, someone else was going to fill that void maybe of Absalom, and then he'd have somebody else he had to deal with. Now, I don't think Amasa was a lazy man, but in this case, he exhibited a bad characteristic almost like here. So David gave him, I think he gave him 3 days and said, you need to hurry. You got 3 days. We got to take care of this thing right now or we're going to have more trouble than we have right now. And Amasa was late. And what happened because of that, Joab had to insert himself into the situation. And it turned out, you know, they did get it under control. But now Joab's right back where he was and David didn't want him there. But because someone didn't fulfill their responsibility speedily and in the time frame in which he was giving, and it cost a lot of trouble. So when we are lazy, we are causing trouble for our boss. By the way, say, well, you know, I have a job where they can't fire me. You can still be a source of irritation. And by the way, let me just say this. Just the fact that they can't bar you has nothing to do with how you ought to act. More important than what you can get away with at work is what your character level is. Way more important. And if you're a Christian, you have no right to look at the other guy and say, well, he gets paid the same thing I do, and he doesn't work, and he gets away with it. I'm not going to work either. You can't control his character. You can only control your own. Okay? And by the way, you're a Christian. And so you ought to have a little more in you than that. Well, you know, my boss is always getting on me. Maybe there is a reason. Now, if you got 40 employees and he's on everybody, maybe it's a him problem. But if he seems to be getting on you, you might want to think, hey, am I fulfilling my job? Am I being an encouragement to my boss, or am I a source of irritation? Letter H. They are hard to persuade. They are just hard to persuade. Proverbs 26:16. The sluggard is wiser in his own conceit than 7 men that can render a reason. It's almost like they become comfortable in their situation and how they respond to the situation, and there is nothing you can do to change their mind about anything. It's just constant argument. Says here, 7 men. I mean, there could be 7 people that can get up and let them know, no, you're wrong, and here's the situation, and they will not listen. That is a bad characteristic to have in an employee. But some people just don't want to change. They know more than anybody else. Be careful. When I was working in the warehouse, we could always tell when they had interviews because the boss would do it in his office, and he had like a glass office right out on the floor. And there was a guy there, and the guy went through the interview process in the office, and then the last interview is down with the on the floor. And so he interviewed the guy, and he took off. And my buddy was there and said, "Hey, is that going to be a new guy? Are you going to hire him?" And the boss said, "You know what? I was going to hire the guy. I interviewed him. Everything went really well, and I thought, you know, he's a good guy. I'm going to tell him to hire him." He goes, "But as he was walking out, I just asked him. I said, so why do you want to leave your other job anyhow?" And the guy just started criticizing. "They're blah, 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 blah. They're always pushy. They're all this and blah, blah, blah. And I just can't work there anymore." He goes, "Oh, okay. Thank you." He said, "I ain't hiring that guy." You know, there's always a reason. Okay, but sometimes you have to take correction. But a lazy person, they're so comfortable, there's nothing you can do to correct them. Part of your job is to be corrected. Now, I understand nobody likes to be corrected. But unless you are perfect, is anybody here like that? If you're married and you raise your hand, we're going to ask your spouse, okay? Unless you're perfect, there's going to be times the boss has to like, hey, this is how things have to be done. Take it. Don't sit there and argue with them. That's what a lazy man will do. The verse comes, this verse we read came in the same context of verse 13, which talks about making excuses. A lazy person makes excuses because they don't want to take responsibility for their actions and they know everything. But excuses don't work. Someone asked Abraham Lincoln one time, How many troops did he think the Confederate Army had? And he said, "Oh, they have to have at least 1 million." They have to have at least 1,200,000. Now there was no way they had that many. He goes, "They don't have that many. What makes you think they have that many?" He goes, "Because every time we lose a battle, I ask our generals, and they say, 'Oh, we were outnumbered 5-1.'" The point is, they weren't. They were lying. Everybody's always got to have an excuse. And excuses are trying to shield us from taking responsibility for something we have done. Look, you want to be a good employee. If your boss gets on you, here's what you say. Listen to what he's saying and say, "You know what? You're right. I'll correct that." By the way, that'll defuse your boss in the first place. Unless he's a real, I'll say, bad guy. But most of them are like, "No problem. Just let's work on it." But a lazy person is always going to make excuses. And when it says that he's in his own conceit, then seven men that can render a reason, there's no fact on this earth you can give them that would cause them to understand that they're wrong. Facts are a problem. I don't know if you remember in the 80s, Coca-Cola changed their formula. How many of you remember that? They got rid of the original Coke, and they came out with a brand new Coke that tasted different. And all of a sudden, everybody was protesting, kind of like, what's going on now? But I remember seeing a news report back then. They had this guy, and he was the head of this little chapter that was protesting Coke. They bring back the original Coke. So they set this guy down and said, "Let's take a taste test." And they said, "Here's the original Coke and here's the new Coke. I want you, since you want the original back, let's take a taste test and see if you can tell which one is which." More than half the time, now you figure even if he guessed, he had a 50% chance of being right. He was wrong more than 50% of the time. He just was irritated. The facts that he couldn't even tell the difference between the drink himself didn't bother him. He was just protesting. A lot of people in our cities are doing that right now. So that's that. Number two. Let's look at number two. That's a little bit of what a lazy person is like. I want to look at some of the consequences of being a lazy person. Because when you're lazy, it has consequences. In other words, there will be just things that are in your life because of the way that you are. We don't want to be like that. A lazy person will pay for their laziness. So let's look at a couple of these. Letter A, they will always be under people. And that maybe that's strong. They will typically be under people. Now, most people aren't the boss, and there's nothing wrong with that. But I'm just saying, they're setting themselves up to be at the bottom of the totem pole all the time. Okay, look what it says. The hand of the diligent. We're going to look at the diligent at the end of this because the diligent person is really the opposite of the lazy person. So it's not all negativity here. The hand of the diligent shall bear rule, but the slothful shall be under tribute. They typically will not be the boss. And by the way, if that type of person ever becomes a boss, it is not going to last very long, and it is not good for the company, and someone did not do their homework. Okay? It's just that they're not cut out for it. See, we think in our society, most people are like, I want to be the boss because I want to be the one in charge. I want to be the one telling people what to do. Do you understand the higher up the position you have, the more responsibility you have, the more you have to do. That's why it's earned. You don't just give something to somebody. They have to figure it out, and they have to earn it. And that's why a lazy person, they are not fit. Look, if you're lazy, you, in essence, you can't even lead yourself. How in the world are you going to take control and lead others? And a lot of times, you lead by example. You know, you're a boss, and you're always coming to work late. You're a bad boss. Well, you know, I own my own business. I can come in whenever I want. I know, but every employee you know is watching you. And so you're not going to be there. A lazy person is not going to have that position very often. They will be bosses, but they're going to be what we call, you ever hear of a lunch break boss? They're the guys that, I'm sure if you work, you have them. If you sit in the lunchroom, they're going to sit there and they're going to tell you everything, how the company should be run, right? I mean, they've never run anything in their life, but they're going to tell you how everything should be. And then that's how they are. So they should never be in charge. That just won't work out. And typically, they're not going to. We want the position of the boss without the responsibilities. Letter B. They are in for a rough way of life. Person's late. You know, they don't have to work. They're not like everybody else. It's not peaches and cream. It's not good for them. The way of the slothful man is as a hedge of thorns. That doesn't sound good. But the way of the righteous is made plain. The lazy man's path through life is always blocked with problems and obstacles, like a way of thorns. There's always something in the way. And by the way, thorns are very painful. There's always something that's there. It's never clear for them. They go from problem to problem. They want the situation to change. They want the road to change, but they don't want their character to change. And because their character will not change, what they're facing in life will always be there for them. They can't see that the problems they have are a result of the way that they are. I wish that we just understood that. Most problems people have are self-inflicted. Now, I'm not talking, there's things that come our way we have no recourse. I understand that. But I'm talking about a majority of the problems people have are a result of the way that they live. They don't see that. They want everything to be smooth, but they don't want to do one thing. They don't want to lift their finger to change what they're doing so that their situation will be better. It just won't work. That's not how life is. We run into problems, well, because they're not going to deal with the root cause. Now, the life is the opposite for those who are righteous. The word plain there, the way the righteous is made plain, the word means smooth. It's like a plain, a smooth, level road. So, well, why is their way better? Because they're not throwing a bunch of own junk in their own way. Because they're diligent, because they're doing right, their path is just going to be a lot easier than those who aren't. The type of life path that we must navigate is formed by the character of our life and the choices that we make. You think about that. Say, it just seems that my life, there's constant problems. Take the time to look back and see if there is anything that you are doing, any way you are living, any character you are exhibiting that is causing you to have these constant problems. If you would just change whatever that is, things would go a lot better. We are never going to get out of this life without having to face some things, but let's not shoot ourselves in the foot. That's a problem. And it's our choices. It seems that the harder choices that are the right choices make for smoother sailing in the end. That's not how it, it's just how it works out. So we have two options if we look at this verse. Are we going to follow the slothful path or the righteous? Let us see, and then we'll stop at this one. They will be frustrated by never reaching any goals. Look at this verse. Proverbs 21:25. The desire of the slothful killeth him, for his hands refuseth to labor. In other words, the slothful person, they have dreams. They have goals. They have things they would like to accomplish in life. But because they are not willing to put in what it takes to accomplish those dreams, to accomplish those goals, they will never get to them, and they are going to end up being frustrated. That same desire or goal that should spur them to action actually causes them frustration in the long run because they're never going to get there. They're not willing to put it out. These are things they wish would happen. These are things maybe they wish they had, something they would like to accomplish in lives. And because they'll never be motivated to action, they're nothing more than pipe dreams. You have to put in the effort. The frustration comes from thinking, what could have been? What could have been in my life if I'd only put that action in? Everybody says this, one day I will. You say, be a better husband. And you don't put any effort in, and your marriage stinks, and you're 30 years down the road, and it's like, oh, well. By the way, you should go to a couples retreat. That would help. Okay? It's not the end all, but that would help. You know, one day I'm going to be a really good parent. I'm going to figure this out. And then next thing you know, you have grandkids. You've never figured it out because you weren't willing to put the effort in. You know, one day I'm going to be a better employee. One day I want to accomplish this in my life, and you don't put any effort in. And the clock just turns, and you look back and say, you know, I wish I would have done that. Frustration. Put the effort in. One day never comes unless you put the effort in. Let's pray.